Two very important names in the creative industry, Nick Hollis and Emily Tomlins. Thanks for coming in, firstly.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure to have you. And I've already given you forewarning that we're going to be delving deep into your sordid past.
Oh, gosh. Have I got a few of those?
So, Nick, why don't we start with you? Was the creative industry your first love? And can you sort of pinpoint when that started for you?
Oh, gosh. I have been working in the creative industries as a theatre director, a playwright, sometimes performer and producer, festival person, since I was 17. It's what I studied. I studied theatre and then I went on to do directing at NIDA and worked in that world exclusively and completely, obsessively, really, for years up until about 2012 when I branched off and started doing more stuff around my HIV activism and things like that. But before that, I was obsessively dedicated to working exclusively in the arts, which is where I first met Emily years ago in Brisbane.
Great. So is that where you grew up? Were you a Melbourne boy?
No, born in Sydney. Sydney, right. and then grew up all around Australia and a bit of time in Malaysia.
Right.
And then ended up heading to Brisbane to go to university. Way back when. I'm not going to say what year it was. It was a very long time ago.
So what was your kind of guiding light at that point? Maybe even back to when you were 17. What was the sort of thrust behind it?
I discovered theatre in high school. I remember sitting at the back of the bus helping a fellow student run lines for her student theatre play that she was in. And one day she got on the bus and she said to me, "One of the actors has dropped out. And you seem really good at reading these lines. Would you want to come be in the show?" And I just said yes, and I had 2 weeks to learn the part. And I completely fell in love with it, and I just didn't stop doing it.
Amazing.
And then then headed off to uni and discovered a whole broad range of things.
So before you read the lines for your friend, did you have any other involvement at all, or was that just that the pivotal moment for you?
Oh, that was the pivotal moment. I mean, I was 13, so okay. There wasn't a lot of opportunity to get super involved before that.
That's pretty pivotal at 13.
Yeah, prior to that stage, I think it had been seeing a production of Cats in London at age 12, okay. And I thought that was pretty damn impressive at the time.
And then going from that, I suppose, the love or, you know, the enjoyment that you got from doing that production, how did that then turn to going to study that at night or you know, further at 17, decide that was your career?
Oh, look, it's when they say you get the bug, like, that's really exactly what happened. I was obsessed then all through high school, doing youth theatre, doing drama, and then went straight from school to university, where I was obsessed all through my undergraduate degree, and then I probably in my third year discovered the art of directing and how much I really love that, and I reframed my rest of my course into learning directing, and then went on to study at NIDA. But between university and graduate school, I set up a theatre company in Brisbane and was gigging around there, and that's started writing my own work and creating my own work, and which is exactly where I met Emily, because she was kind of doing the same thing.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, we talk to a lot of creative people, obviously, on the show, and it's almost like taking that power and creating your own work. So was it kind of liberating for you at that point?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the huge thing around being an artist in Australia. You can't just sit around and wait for the big paying gigs to come in. You've really got to get out there and carve a path of your own, especially when you've got stories to tell and you've got something to say. Sometimes I think you get really lucky, and some of those, you know, what you call big acting gigs or big directing gigs or big writing gigs are something that you're really passionate about and are in line with the way you see the world. And sometimes they're not. And, you know, we're all artists having to say yes to gigs to survive sometimes. But there's nothing more rewarding and satisfying than carving, you know, something with your own two hands. Which, of course, not, that's a metaphor. I am horrific. I can't even be trusted with the drill at the bump in.
Now, so how does Emily, forgive us for sticking on Nick for so long,
please,
but he's got
very interesting.
Very interesting right now. And Nick, you've been doing a lot of writing for publications like Junkie and you know, other things around the place. How does that kind of fit into your other creative output?
Sometimes it's really confusing and exhausting, and I forget which version of Nicholas I am today. And people who follow me on Facebook and Twitter, like, get confused. They you know, they start following me maybe because they've read some of my writing in The Guardian or Junkie or something like that, or they've seen my HIV activism, and then I start, you know, tweeting about shows, about pop stars that I'm directing, or my work with Finney Cannon Smith. And, yeah, I think they get a little bit confused. But it all comes down, I think, to creativity, mm-hmm. To thinking on your feet, and to finding a way to tell stories to help open people up. You know, the work that I do in activism is all about getting people to open up their hearts and see the world a slightly different way, or to tell the world that they want to be seen in a different way, which is a big thing we do in HIV.
And what is that organisation for our listeners out there?
Oh, that would be, that's the Institute of Many, or TIM, which is the largest grassroots movement for people living with HIV in Australian history.
You do some amazing work. Oh, now, Emily.
Hi.
Now we've got to get into all of what you're about. Co-artistic director of Elbow Room, mm-hmm. and you are a performer yourself as well. We're going to be talking about niche very, very soon. But let's go into the artistic director of Elbow Room thing. Mm-hmm. You know, how far does it go back for you as well in the creative industry? You know, can you pinpoint when you fell in love?
I actually can't, because I can't remember a time where I wasn't.
Right.
So that sounds really stupid and saccharine. But I've been doing this for forever. And I always, as a kid, I did all the kind of extracurricular things that I could, and my lovely mother would drive me to the Stedfords and bring me baked potatoes to eat for dinner, you know, in tin foil and stuff. So I can't remember a time when this wasn't my life. And when I finished high school, I tried out for acting schools immediately, and thank goodness none of them took me, because I was like 16 years old and I would have been destroyed. So I went and did an arts degree at University of Queensland, which is where I went met Marcel Dorney, who is the other co-artistic director of Elbow Room. So we're life partners as well. We actually didn't go out for a long time. We were just friends. But, I spent a lot of time doing student theatre and fringe theatre in Brisbane before I went to acting school, and then came out of there and started working for the companies up there.
Did you have a bit of a pivoting moment, or, you know, to quote Oprah, an aha moment in your career or in your studies even?
You know, I think the one of the most important aha moments for me has actually been around making our own work as well.
Right.
Because, it's amazing coming out of acting school and starting to get paid gigs with subsidised companies. And I worked with some amazing, incredible people, you know, some of whom were my heroes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a point where you realise, you know, that there is kind of something missing in terms of being able to tell stories that are important to you, being able to provide a platform as a company for other people to tell important stories as well. And, you know, having control over that is kind of nice as well.
And what were some of the stories that, you know, that you were gravitating towards at that point in your career or your studies?
As a company, Elbow Room, we've been around for 9 years now, and that's been since Marcel and I moved to Melbourne. We have always been quite interested in where we consider ourselves a political theatre company. We certainly are really interested in telling stories that that maybe aren't getting as much kind of you know, space as other things are on our main stages. One thing that's always been really important to me is the representation of women on our stages. And we did a show 2 years ago, which was actually part of the Melbourne Theatre Company Neon season, which was called We Get It, which was around basically the history of representation of women, not only on our stages but in media as well, and also in the canon of our kind of great plays. And so, you know, that's particularly important to me, which is something that we're kind of, there are, I guess, things that we're exploring in that, or absolutely lots of things that we're exploring in that kind of avenue with Niche as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, there's been lots of different things. I guess we kind of oscillate when we jump around to what we're kind of thinking about at the time. So we don't like to pin ourselves down as a company in right. terms of, like, you know, this is our one issue and we're just going to go after that year after year. We really, you know, what's important to us at the time or what we think is important to talk about at the time is where we go. So, yeah.
And since starting Elbow Room, have you noticed any improvement in women representation in theatre?
Look, it's certainly, I mean, it's certainly being talked about a lot more, right. and obviously there have been more opportunities. Even in our main stages, there are programs that have been introduced to address some of the inequity there. Yeah, I mean, things are changing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, we've still got a long way to go. Mm. And you know, it's funny, when we did We Get It, I remember there were conversations around, well, you know, we've been talking about this for years, so why do we have to keep on talking about it? And it's like, well, you know, if you have to ask that question, then we need to keep on talking about it. So, yeah, you know, absolutely there's an improvement, but there's, yeah, keep going.
Long way to go.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about how you two then first collaborated or sort of met.
Oh, gosh, we've been talking about this a lot because... We've known each other. I mean, I've known Emily and Marcel Dorney, the other half of Elbow Room, for 15, 16 years or something like that. I first met Marcel when I was 17. And there we were working on a show together in Brisbane. And over the course of a few years then in Brisbane, we all began to work together more. I've directed Marcel's plays before. I've directed Emily in a show that my company produced and created back in Brisbane several years ago. And then we...
Two versions
of that show. And we both were working together around the same time at Queensland Theatre Company right. and in those kind of worlds. And then we all moved to Melbourne at a similar-ish time, but we hadn't really worked together for years. So when I found out that Emily with Erin Jean was creating a show about an epidemiologist and a pop star, I just... literally at the pub one night said to her, well, you know, I have to direct that show. If there's something, if there's anything I know about more than almost anyone else in the world, it's pop music and viruses. So, you know, I'm not letting you leave until I get the contract.
Well, we're going to be talking about that collaboration a lot more on Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9. Thanks so much for joining us on Sunday Arts Magazine. It's Joy 94.9, the gayest station in the nation. You can SMS 0427 Joy 949 and get in touch with us, or you can email on air at joy.org.au. And the lovely Marcus is on the front desk if you've got any questions about what's going on at Joy, 1300 Joy 949. Something that's interesting that's going on from the 16th of August is Niche as part of Darabin Arts Speakeasy, and we're talking with Nick Hollis and Emily Tomlins, and we were just about to get into Niche as we were talking about your collaboration. So let's talk about Niche. Mm. What is Niche?
Okay. It is a contemporary performance smackdown between a pop star and an epidemiologist.
Love it.
That's the short
version. I'm
pretty
sure that's been done before. Not. So tell us a little bit about the story behind it then.
So Niche has been written by myself and my co-collaborator, Erin Jean Norval. So Erin Jean and I met in 2008 when we were doing a Bell Shakespeare Actors at Work tour together. So we drove around in Otorago for 7 months along with two poor young men and we became very, very close, fast friends. And in 2009, we created a show together, which was a clown show called A Tiny Chorus, because when we were in the Tarago, we both met each other's inner clowns, who were both middle-aged men called Darren and Ralph, who'd both been in shows before, and we decided we had to write a show for them. And so that's what A Tiny Chorus was. And since A Tiny Chorus happened and it was quite successful and had three seasons, we knew that we needed to collaborate again. Erin, and we've been talking for years about this show. So it's been developing over a number of years because Erin Jean has been living in Sydney and I've been in Melbourne. So it's been a kind of an interesting collaborative process. But yeah, so we're finally here. We've got the show. It's going to happen. It's basically it follows the story of Jody, who is an epidemiologist, a scientist, played by myself, who is basically hired by Niche, Niche's pop star, Niche's marketing team, to make her go viral, turn her into a virus. So yeah, I mean it's a combination of a concert and
a theatre work and a piece of performance. I like to describe it as like in the great vein of mismatched female buddy comedies like Thelma and Louise, Beaches and Aliens, and emphasis on the aliens because it goes to a really wacky is an awful word to use to describe it actually, but a wild sort of sci-fi comedy place. It's really it's just extraordinary. These two performers, Erin Jean and Emily, are magic together on stage. And it's just one of the reasons why I put my hand up to direct it so quickly when they asked me. But they're so funny, and their background together, these various shows they've worked on over the years, has just made them so funny and so perfect together. The most amazing synchronicity. So when you throw them into this deep world of playing a pop star and playing a germophobic epidemiologist, it goes into a really strange, brilliant place.
And so does it make it easier for you as director having, you know, performers that have the shorthand in their performances?
Oh, absolutely. You don't need to worry about creating a sense of camaraderie or connection. It's already there. In fact, most of the time I just let them go. I roll about on the floor laughing. And every once in a while I'll put my hand up and go, oh, louder.
That's not true.
And Emily, does it make it easier or sometimes more difficult to have that kind of connection with your fellow performer?
Look, I think most of the time it's really easy. The times that it becomes difficult is we know each other very well, Erin Jean and I. So we're quite in the theme of the show. We infect each other quite a lot. So, you know, you can tell when something isn't right with someone else. So it's interesting when kind of obstacles come up, you know, because you can't lie to your fellow performer or your fellow collaborator. They're right there. They know what's going on. But, you know, that's an advantage as well because it means that we can get that stuff out of the way and keep going. I think it's been an interesting process for us because we wrote this and we're also performing it. And I think that's, you know, I mean, Nick has been amazing in handling us as those kind of in those two different roles as well, because obviously it's a new work and so it's something that's kind of evolving and changing all the time. The great thing is you don't have to kind of wait until the writer's in the room. You can ask them if you can cut something or change something or whatever. We're right there. But at the same time, we're also, it's our work. So it's kind of, you know, it can be a precious kind of situation.
Yeah, there's been a real a journey from, you know, from them being the writers in the room, sitting around a table and then transitioning onto the floor into building the work and you know, a couple of times you can sort of see the writer brain still hanging around here. And you do, and I mean, Emily will speak to this much better than I can, but eventually you just have to go, now I have my job as an actor
kill
to
your
do.
Darlings.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, gosh, it's been a bloodbath.
What if there's one sort of emotion or vibe that you hope the audience takes away, what would you say it is?
Wow, there's actually lots of them. I mean, one thing I'd really like them to feel or take away is a celebration. I mean, we're not, you know, it's an interesting thing because we're looking at these two kind of different worlds and how they're kind of butting up against each other. But we're also certainly celebrating both of them as well, you know, the pop world and the science world and the intellectually rigorous world, as a company, both of those, you know, popular culture and, you know, the other kind of intellectual kind of approach to theatre are both very important to us. So celebration is definitely something I'd like to have people kind of feel. We certainly go quite deep into a lot of things too, so I think it's going to be a wild ride for people.
There's a huge leap. You know, we're kind of turning Northcote Town Hall into Wembley Stadium for moments, with Phoenicia's pop moments, and then you deep dive into some really big ideas. And it's been really fascinating to explore these worlds of two different types of women who are really at the top of their game. You know, you have and exploring the challenges that women in science face. You know, Emily's character Jodie is a successful female epidemiologist, and there are huge barriers to women entering and excelling in that field. And whenever a woman gets to that level of achievement within science, you know, we often speak around how incredibly difficult that must be, and we idolize them and we put them on pedestals, but then we don't always have the same amount of acknowledgement or respect for women who might want to be musicians or specifically pop stars. So it's been really interesting exploring the symbolism of women in the public eye.
Great. And so you're hoping to change people's opinions a little bit in that realm.
I get, this is the fascinating thing about creating work, especially work that has, you know, politics, you know, flowing powerfully beneath it, is it's so difficult to point at something and say, look at this, you've got to change your mind about it. I think, you know, I working with Moira Finucane, you know, a big theory in our company is, you know, you just get people there and get them to open their hearts, because that's when they might think about stuff a little bit differently.
Yeah, I think the Elbow Room too, for us it's always about, you know, having a conversation. We certainly don't we don't make shows that say, okay, so this is the answer, so go away with that answer, right. You know, but we're it's very important for us to raise questions and to keep the conversation going. So I guess that's, you know, that's what we're trying to do again with this.
It's a big function of independent theatre as well, I
think. Absolutely,
And it's, you know, it's no coincidence, I think, that, you know, large parts of the independent theatre environment made up of women theatre makers more than the main stages, and queer theatre makers and people of colour, you know, and so these stories by necessity do become slightly more political, because the artists making them tend to be less visible and less audible on the main stages.
Exactly. Well, you're going to be very visible and very audible on the 16th of August. Where can people come and check out Niche?
So it's on at Northcote Town Hall. It's being presented by Darabin Arts Speakeasy, who are amazing. It's an amazing program. Come to Northcote Town Hall.
Northcote Town Hall, the number 86 stops right outside.
Absolutely.
So there's no excuse.
And how can people get tickets?
Go to the Darabin Arts website.
darabinarts.com.au.
That's it.
Thank you. That's the one. That's the answer.
Go check it out. Thank you so much, Nicholas and Emily Tomlins. You're doing wonderful work out there in the creative realm.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
You're on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.